Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight, this Christmas season. And Brother Sam, I'm glad you're not in prison anymore, too. Brother Rome, I'm glad you're not in prison anymore. But you know what's sad tonight is some of us sitting here in this room is still in prison. You're still there. You're still in the bondage of sin, lost and imprisoned, though walking free, without God and with no hope. But you know what Christmas is all about? It's not this tree. It's not the lights. It's not the presents. It's not Santa Claus. It's not the festivities. The whole purpose of Christmas is salvation. Jesus came as God's unspeakable gift to die for our sin and to make it possible that we could be freed from the prison of sin, be freed from the bondage of Satan, and be free as he intended us to be. If you've got your Bible tonight, would you turn to the book of Philippians, chapter number 2, please? Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to talk to you these next few minutes about salvation. In fact, salvation is mentioned here in the first verse that we're going to read. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 12 down to verse 16. The scripture says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Notice the word there, salvation. He mentions here your own salvation. Now here Paul is not speaking to a mass group of people. He's speaking to believers, those who are saved. He's speaking to them, talking about their salvation and what that means. Continue to read verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Salvation is the key word in this section of Scripture. Salvation is what God does in our hearts. You can't do it for yourself. You cannot make it happen on your own. Salvation is a work of God, as we're going to see here in this portion of Scripture. You know, as I was preparing this and thinking about this afternoon, I got to thinking about in a service like this tonight, and every church service at the church I pastor, there's three kinds of people sitting in the congregation or in the audience. There are, first of all, those who have been saved or regenerated, and they know it. Many of you sitting here tonight, you know God has regenerated you, saved you, birthed you on the inside. You know that. You have that assurance in your heart. There's evidence in your life that you have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, there are those of you in this service tonight and in every service usually that are unregenerate. And you know it. You know that you're not a believer. You know that you're not saved. You make no qualms about it. And then there's the third kind of person sitting here tonight who you think that you're saved, but you're not. You believe in your mind and in your heart, I'm okay. Maybe I walked down the church aisle one day, or maybe I was baptized, and maybe I went through an emotional experience, and no, it hasn't changed my life. I'm the same old person I used to be, the same old desires, the same old lifestyle, but I think if I died, I'd go to heaven. There's going to be a lot of people like that one day stand before God, and He will say, as He tells us in Matthew 7, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And they'll begin to talk about what they've done. Have we not preached in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. They said they knew him, but it really don't matter what you or I say. What matters is, does he know us? Have we been born by God? Saved? Do we have salvation? Now, what does the scripture say here in verse number 12? It says, your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. What does that mean? When he says to work it out, how can you do that? What does that mean to work out your own salvation? Is what God's saying here is, well, it's up to everybody. You just work it out your own self. Ever how you want to do it, ever how you want to get to heaven, you just work it out on your own. That's not what he's talking about. When he says, work out your own salvation, and what does he say there? To do it with fear and trembling? Are any of y'all tonight fearing and trembling when it comes to the matter of your salvation? That's what God says that we are to do. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Does that sound serious? It sure does. So what does it mean, work out your own salvation? Where I grew up in North Georgia, up close to Gainesville, Georgia, there's a plant up there called the Wrigley plant. You know what they make up there? They make chewing gum. Here's one of their pieces of chewing gum right here. Wrigley is written all over. And in that plant up there, it's a big, expansive plant. They bring in gum. They bring in this product that they get from trees. You've all had gum in your mouth. You've all chewed gum before. You know what I'm talking about. And they take this gum and they work this gum and they bring this gum to a place to where in these huge vats they pour in flavoring. This is spearmint right here. They pour in the flavoring, and those machines work that gum, work that gum, work that gum to get into that gum flavoring. They work in or put in into that gum so that we buy it. And we take it, we unwrap it, put it in our mouths, and what do? We work out what they worked in. That's what salvation is. God works in us, as it says there in verse number 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Salvation is God working in somebody's heart, the work of grace. And now God says, like this piece of gum, you need to work out what I have put in. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't want to buy a piece of gum or a pack of gum that has no flavor in it. I don't want to just work my jaws. I want to get something out of it. And the only way you can get something out of it is if God has put something in it. Now, has God worked in you? Has He put salvation in you? Has He worked in you the work of grace? Has He worked into you Jesus Christ? Has He worked into you a new heart? Has He worked into you new desires? Has He worked into you a new nature? Listen, when God saved me as a high school student, God changed my desires. He changed my heart. The night that God saved me, my girlfriend sitting beside me, my best friend and his girlfriend sitting there. After that night, August the 11th, 1969, God changed me in my heart to where I did not want to do the things that I once did with her, with him, with his girlfriend, with my friends from school. You know, it's one thing to want to do right and not be able to. It's another thing when God changes your wanter and you don't want to do what you used to do. That's the work of grace. And as it says in verse number 13, it's God that works in you, both to will in my heart, to cause me to want to will to do His will, and then to do of His good pleasure. I can tell you that I did not give a flip about doing God's work or God's will or being in His will or doing His ways until He put that in me. He did a work of grace in me. That's what I mean by regenerate, changing me from the inside out. Let me ask you a question. What is the key evidence? What's the key evidence that God has worked in your heart like this flavoring's been worked into this gum? What's the key evidence? Look at verse number 12. Here's the key evidence. What does He say to this church here? He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed." Obedience is the key evidence that God has changed you. That doesn't mean that you always 100% obey, but it does mean that God has put something in you where you have the desire, you have the want to, you want to obey Him. That's your bent now. You are bent in that direction. Like a flower that's put into a big picture window. You put that flower in that picture window, and the sun coming up in a certain direction, you watch that flower, it will lean toward that sunshine. I used to lean toward the darkness, but when God saved me, I have a new bent. I have a new desire or attraction to the light. Used not like the light. Used to want to turn my back on the light. And you know why men love darkness rather than light? Because our deeds are evil. But oh, here when God saves us and He changes us, He tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. What God has worked in, you work out. And He tells us here how to do it. He tells us some things that we are to do. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, what God says, "I don't want you to do." He uses the negative first. Don't do two things. What does He say not to do? He says, "Do all things without murmurings," and the second one, "disputings." You know what murmuring is, don't you? It's griping and complaining, having a negative attitude. Can Christians, people who have really been saved, can we have negative attitudes and be murmurers? Of course we can. God says, "Do all things without murmurings." And then what's disputings? You know, some people got the attitude they're going to dispute everything that anybody says or tries to tell them. They're always combative. God says, as Christians, as people who know Jesus and want to be a testimony to others, do not have a murmuring, complaining, whining attitude, nor are we to be people who's always hard to get along with, disputing with others. So that's what he says, don't do. So let's move that out of the way. Don't do that. But what are we supposed to do if we're going to work out our own salvation? What will we do? Well, he lists a few things here. He says, first of all, I want you to be blameless. You see that in verse number 15? He says, I want you to live in such a way that you will be blameless. Meaning that you do that which is right. You do that which no one can lay blame upon you. Now, I know what it's like to live a life that's easily blamed. Everybody can see that there's blame, meaning that actions have been done that I have caused harm, or I have done things that are wrong. But God says, don't be blameless. Or he wants us to be blameless, not to be able to be blamed by others. And what's the next thing he says? To be what? Harmless. Harmless. Do you know what that means? Well, let's look at the negative of that. How many of us in this room have hurt people? I'm not talking about beating people down. I'm not talking about that kind of hurt. How many of us have hurt our mamas? Hurt our grandparents? Hurt our children? We've hurt others. Well, we could talk a long time about that probably. Because many of us have regrets about that. But God says he doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be harmless. Instead of harming people, he wants us to do good things. Bless people. Be harmless. Jesus even said this when he was talking to his disciples. He says, you're going to be out there as sheep among a bunch of wolves. But he says, I want you to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. So if we're going to work out our salvation, he wants us to be blameless. He wants us to be harmless. What does it say there in verse 15? He wants us to be as sons of God, sons of the living God, that we represent our Father. He is the one who is in control of our lives. We are sons of God, representing him, not representing ourselves, but representing him. He says he wants us to be unrebukable. He says without rebuke there in verse 15. There again, he's talking about don't do anything that somebody could come up and rebuke you or correct you because you're not doing what's right. And he says that what kind of world we living in. Verse 15, what kind of world we living in? We're smack dab in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or a crooked and perverse world. Is things getting better in our world or getting worse? They're getting worse and worse and worse. And as the scripture says, in these last days, things will wax worse and worse. Men and people will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures instead of lovers of God. And they will express that through crooked and perverse things. But when God saves us and works in us salvation, and he tells us to work it out, He says there in verse 15, that last phrase, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What does God want us to do? He wants us to be like shining lights. We're living in darkness. This world is ruled by Satan, the prince of darkness. Shine. Shine. What do you have to do to shine? Just let Jesus shine through you. You don't have to stoke up a fire inside of you. Just let Jesus shine through you. If you're saved and God lives in you, He can't help but come out of you and shine through you. You remember what the little kids sang? Maybe you sang it as a kid. I'm going to let this little light shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to put it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. That's what God wants us to do. Don't be ashamed of who you are in Christ. Be a shining light in this dark world. And when things are dark around you, how big of a wattage of a bulb do you need? You say, well, I'm not that bright. I'm not that big of a wattage. A little bit of light in a dark place is enough. God can use you no matter who you are or where we have been. Be shining lights. And there's one more thing that God says here that He wants us to do as we work out our salvation. Look at that last verse, verse 16 in this section. He says, we're to do what? Holding forth. The what? The word of life. Look up here at me just a second. What am I doing right now? I am holding forth the word of life. This is not the word of death. This is the word that gives life. This is the key to us having salvation made real into our hearts. And you men, you women, you that have been saved, are you holding up this word of truth? I'm not to live by my dictates anymore. I'm to live by the word of truth. I'm not to preach what I think or what I believe. I'm to preach what this book says, holding forth the word of truth. The years that I've been coming down here to preach, and some of you have been here for months and I've known you, and you even come out on Friday nights down to our place, and some of you can come to Sundays down at our place, you know that when I open this book, I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what it says. We must hold forth the word of truth. And tonight, what's the main word in that section of Scripture? Salvation. Say it with me. Salvation. And He tells us to work out our own salvation. Don't ever forget about Wrigley. Has God worked in you salvation so that now you can work out what He's worked in? Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for every man and woman in this room, even the children here tonight. I pray, God, for that one here that is lost, unregenerate, lost in their sins, bound by the chains of darkness. Oh, tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray for salvation to come and to be real in someone's heart tonight. I pray that we would understand that You paid the price and made it possible through Your death and Your burial and Your resurrection on the cross by the shed blood of Jesus, that by believing the gospel, Turning from our way, turning from our sin, turning from what all we're trusting in, and turn to Jesus. We can have salvation. We can be birthed. We can be made new. God, may you do that in someone's heart tonight. Dear friend, turn to Jesus right now. Believe upon him. Be saved tonight. It's not walking down this aisle. It's not saying magic words. It is a heart belief. What must I do to be saved? The answer in Acts 16:31 is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God will do a work in your heart that you'll know is real when you put your faith and trust in him. Father, I pray for every saved man and woman in this room that they will heed the word of God here and work out with fear and trembling what you've worked into. God help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.